Hare Krishna, I welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Har Grace Prithivilas Mataji to enlighten us on topic Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Book 2, Session 40. Hare Krishna Prithivilas Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai, Guru Maharaj ki Jai. Please take over the call, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Is my voice good? Or bad?
Yes, Mataji, we can hear you.
Okay. So thank you all so much. Thank you, Vrinda and Vinita Mataji, for the very warm welcoming, and thanks to all the wonderful devotees, both adults and kids, for the very sweet, beautiful chanting. Thanks to each one of you. We are starting, we are continuing to read from Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita. This is book 2, session 40. We have come 40 sessions in this journey of Gopakumar. We are almost ending, but every time we feel we are almost ending, but then we see that Parikshit continues to talk. So we'll have a few more sessions. Anyway, so this is book 40. Yes, sir. Session 40. So we'll start with the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Agnyanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langa yati girim yat krupa tamaham vande shri gurum dinatharinam. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna preshthaya bhutale shrimate radhanatha swami nitinamine. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna preshthaya bhutale shrimate bhaktivedanta swami nitinamine. Namaste sarasvate deve gauravani pracharine nirvisesha shunyavadi paschayati deshatharine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Srila Sanatana Goswami, the author of Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita. My humble obeisances to all the devotees on the call. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So we are continuing our study of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and the journey of Gopakumar is what we have been seeing. And we saw in our previous sessions that Gopakumar attained the spiritual world, and by his mercy even Jana Sharma attained perfection. And then Parikshit was very enthusiastic to speak more about the glories of Goloka Vrindavan as well as Vrajabhumi, which is non-different from Goloka Vrindavan. So he spoke from various Puranas, he spoke from the Brahma Samhita, and then now he is very inspired to speak from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The glories of Vrindavan have been described in great detail in Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in the 10th canto. So we see the glories of not only the residents of Vrindavan, but we also see the glories of this all the sentient and the ancient, insentient living entities in Vrindavan. So in our previous sessions, we saw about the earth, Bhumi, how fortunate she felt, about the mountains, the hills in Vrindavan, and about the clouds that hover around Vrindavan, the rivers that flow in Vrindavan, the different branches of River Yamuna and the waters and the little ponds in Vrindavan. And then we saw about the creepers, the trees, and then we saw about the birds in Vrindavan, how the waterfowls, the birds were staying a little away from the exact forest area where Krishna is walking. Then we saw about the birds that sit on the trees of Vrindavan, and then we saw about the animals, like the deers, who are very fortunate, who are able to get Krishna's darshan on a regular basis along with their husbands. And then we saw about the different domestic animals like the cows, buffaloes, and the calves, and all the other animals in Vrindavan, and how fortunate they were. And finally, we ended our previous session by talking about the Pulinda women, who are generally considered to be forest dwellers, and how they felt so fortunate and getting the mercy of Krishna in various ways. So this is how we have been seeing the gradation of different people in Vrindavan, not just the people, but also everything in Vrindavan, right from the stone to the blade of grass to a tree to the different residents. So we were saying about their fortune, how fortunate they are and how much they love Krishna. So continuing in that order, we have to now look at who was actually accompanying Krishna as he was going into the forest of Vrindavan. So yes, we are going to look at the fortune of the cowherd boys who accompany Krishna on a regular basis in the forest of Vrindavan. So we are going to get deep into this beautiful Sakya Rasa that the cowherd boys share with Krishna and what are the different experiences of these cowherd boys. So we will be seeing this from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam as Parikshit Maharaj is narrating this to his dear mother Uttara. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 12, verses 6, 11 to 12. We are going to see all of these verses, 6, 11 and 12. So first let's look at verse number 6. It goes like this. We are just doing the translation of this verse. It says, sometimes Krishna would go to a somewhat distant place to see the beauty of the forest. Then all the other boys would run to accompany him, each saying, I shall be the first to run and touch Krishna. I shall touch Krishna first. In this way, they enjoyed life by repeatedly touching Krishna again and again. So this is the great fortune of the cowherd boys. So these cowherd boys, as we discussed, they are the ones who constantly accompany Krishna wherever he goes in the forest. So therefore, they are definitely superior than all the other residents that we discussed so far, like the aboriginal women or the trees or the birds. They are definitely much more fortunate than all of them. So Parikshit Maharaj, he now begins to recite few verses in praise of the cowherd boys. These cowherd boys are called as the Gopakumars. So he's now reciting the fortune of the different Gopakumars in Vrindavan. And these verses in the Bhagavatam, they were spoken by Shukadev Goswami. So Shukadev Goswami, he's now describing about how Krishna enjoys with the cowherd boys as he tends the cows and the calves in the forest. So very, very early in the morning, the Supreme Lord, as soon as he wakes up, he becomes very eager to enjoy that day's countless pastimes with his cowherd boys, like killing of Agasura, eating lunch on the grass of Vrindavan. So like this, he's so eager when he wakes up. Krishna gets very excited and he gets ready really, really fast because he knows that his dear cowherd friends are waiting for him to come out so that they can get darshan of him and then they can accompany him into the forest. So these cowherd boys in the beginning of the day, they become very anxious and they start blowing their buffalo horns and their little trumpets or whatever they have in their hand, their flutes and all these little instruments to alert Krishna, saying that, you know, they are ready to enter the forest of Vrindavan. And they all come out from their houses, out of their houses in hundreds and thousands. So they bring their thousands of cows and calves and they set out to the forest along with Krishna. So as they call out to Krishna, they all are very, very happy and excited to take all the forest animals inside, all the cows and the buffaloes and calves, and all of them together along with Krishna, they all enter the forest of Vrindavan. So as they walk in the forest of Vrindavan, they begin to decorate themselves with various ornaments like little berries, twigs, fruits and the forest minerals. Though they are being decorated very well by their parents, still these cowherd boys, they get so much enjoyment in decorating themselves with these little gunja berries and forest flowers, and they decorate each other and they decorate themselves. They also decorate Krishna and they are also excited to set out to the forest in the company of Krishna. So like this, they play their flutes, their buffalo horns and all the other little instruments that they have gathered on their way as they are walking inside the forest of Vrindavan, and they play a very interesting game as they are walking. This game is called as keep away one another's lunches. So what is that? Keep away one another's lunches. What is that game? So that game is described in the fifth verse of this chapter, 10th Canto's chapter 12, fifth verse. Shukdev Goswami describes this game very nicely. He says, all the cowherd boys used to steal one another's lunch bags. When a boy came to understand that his bag has been taken away, the other boys would throw it farther away to a more distant place. And those standing there would throw it still farther. When the proprietor of the bag became disappointed, the other boys would laugh. The proprietor would cry and then the bag would be returned. So like this, they would throw each other's lunch boxes far away and make the boy cry. And then finally, they would return the lunch boxes. So like this, they would play as they are entering the forest. And all these games that they would play was simply for Krishna's enjoyment. And as they were walking, they would have this wonderful chance to touch Krishna, embrace him, and give him all sorts of happiness. And as they are walking, sometimes these boys, they would compete with each other. They would see who would run quickly to go and touch Krishna, who would be the first one to touch Krishna. And sometimes the beauty of Vrindavan would be so attractive that Krishna would sometimes abandon the cowherd boys and run to a secluded place to go and relish the beauty of Vrindavan. So when Krishna would suddenly leave the company of these cowherd boys to go to a distant place and to have a look at the beauty of Vrindavan, these boys, they would become so anxious. They would want to go and get the immediate sight of Krishna. So before Krishna gets back, though Krishna goes away from the boys for a very short time, just for a few seconds, to go, you know, climb on a huge rock and go and see the beauty of Vrindavan, even that would give so much pain to the cowherd boys that they would run after him. They would not leave him even for a minute, because they never liked to miss seeing Krishna's beautiful face even for a second. So these cowherd boys, they were never satisfied until and unless they were around Krishna and they were given an opportunity to go and touch Krishna. So this was a beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Then continuing on the same lines in the same chapter, there are other beautiful verses that talk about the experience of these cowherd boys further. This is again continuing in the same lines in Srimad Bhagavatam after verse 5. It says, all the boys would be differently engaged. Some boys blew their flutes. Others blew bugles made of horn. Some imitated the buzzing of bumblebees. And the others imitated the voice of a cuckoo. Some boys imitated flying birds by running after the birds' shadows on the ground. Some imitated the beautiful movements and attractive postures of the swans. Some sat down with the ducks, sitting very silently. And others imitated the dancing of peacocks. Some boys attracted young monkeys in the trees. Some jumped into the trees, imitating the monkeys. And some made monkey faces, as monkeys are accustomed to. And others jumped from one branch to the other. Some boys went to the waterfalls and they crossed over the river. Some jumping like frogs, they were accompanying the frogs. And when they saw their own reflection in water, they would laugh. They would also condemn the sounds of their own echoes. So these boys, they were really having fun. And this is how we, in those days, we also grew up, at least, you know, a few years ago, maybe like 20 years ago, 25 years ago in India. This was something that people would do when they would go out for a picnic. Now, of course, there is a lot of things that have changed, but this is how boys are, and not only boys, all kids are, and this is how we all have fun. So it's the tendency of kids that when they are on a picnic or when they are outside in a very natural setting, they do all these things. They imitate birds and they run after little bumblebees and they pick flowers and they tease each other. They imitate the cries of different animals or different birds. So all these things the cowherd boys were experiencing with Krishna. And imagine the beauty of Vrindavan. Vrindavan has so many beautiful, beautiful animals like peacocks and beautiful birds and active monkeys. So these boys were really, really having fun. So these are verses from Bhagavatam. It's directly there in the Bhagavatam. I think these are verses 7 to 10. And now the 11th verse. So we are going to dive into the 11th verse. This is the 11th verse of the chapter 10, 12, 11. In this way, all the cowherd boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, used to play with Krishna, who for impersonalist jnanis is realization of the bliss of Brahman, who for devotees is eternal servitorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who for many persons is but another ordinary child. So in this verse, this is 10, 12, 11, we see that these cowherd boys, it is mentioned that these cowherd boys have been very, very fortunate. And they have been fortunate because really they have accumulated a lot of pious activities for many lives. And that is the reason why today they have an opportunity to play with Krishna. And who is this Krishna? Krishna is seen by different people in different ways. The impersonalist jnanis, they see Krishna as the ultimate Brahman, that impersonal Brahman. But devotees, they see him as the Supreme Master and they are in a mood of servitorship to the Eternal Lord. But there are some other people who do not understand Krishna and who just think, oh, Krishna was an ordinary person. So like this, this Supreme Personality of Godhead was realized by different people in different ways. He is now enjoying with these cowherd boys. And how fortunate these cowherd boys must have been. What all credits they must have accrued over so many births to have this fortune of running around in the forest with Krishna. So that is what this verse is saying. And Srila Sanatan Goswami, he analyzes, he just digs deep into this verse and he analyzes this verse in so many ways. He says it is so amazing to see this incomparable fortune of these cowherd boys because they got this opportunity of tending cows along with Krishna. And in the process, they had this opportunity to very intimately associate with Krishna. It was a very intimate association with Krishna. So they were getting this opportunity to directly be with Krishna and get a lot of happiness in the association of Krishna. So therefore, these cowherd boys are in this verse are described as satam. Satam means liberated souls. They were liberated as they were walking around with Krishna, as they were playing around with Krishna. These boys, these cowherd friends of Krishna, they are liberated persons because they are taking part in the happiness of knowing Krishna in the mood of Sakyarasa, in the mood of being a cowherd boy. So that is the reason they are liberated. And they are not at all bewildered by the Supreme Lord's power of illusion. They are not really bewildered by the power of illusion, but they are actually bewildered by his yoga maya. To think that my dear Krishna, this Krishna is actually one of the cowherd boys like me. And in that process, taking Krishna to be one of their very close friends, they are associating with Krishna and they are having this opportunity to enjoy unlimited pastimes with Krishna. Another word of the name Satam is one who are seekers of spiritual knowledge. Now these seekers of spiritual knowledge, they are only after impersonal Brahman. They are not after understanding Krishna's personal feature. However, these Krishna servants who are also called as Satam, they are much more fortunate than the people who are after impersonal Brahman. But these associates of Krishna who think Krishna to be the Supreme Absolute Truth and themselves as servants, they still have a little bit of awe and reverence towards Krishna. So better than these people who just consider the Lord to be their master and themselves to be the servant are these cowherd boys who are really satam, who are really liberated, because these cowherd boys, they have this opportunity to bring Krishna under their control by their love. So how fortunate are these cowherd boys as compared to so many other devotees of the Lord? There are so many liberated people, liberated personalities. There are so many different associates of the Lord. But these cowherd boys, they are so fortunate. They get the intimate association of Krishna. And in the process of getting the intimate association of Krishna, they have brought Krishna under their control. They are able to freely take lunch with Krishna. They are freely climbing on the shoulders of Krishna. They are freely putting their left hand into the mouth of Krishna. How fortunate are these cowherd boys? They have brought the Supreme Lord under their direct control. So actually, Sanatan Goswami, he gives another little thing here in this verse. He says that in this verse, there is a small revelation that this verse not only applies to the cowherd boys, it also applies to the cowherd girls. The cowherd girls are also, and they have also received a great fortune, very, very great fortune of being in close association with Krishna and being completely dedicated to Krishna. These gopis, they could only see Krishna as the most attractive youth. They did not give an ounce of thought to Krishna's godly opulence. They simply focused their attention on the beauty of Krishna and they just thought, this Krishna is the love of my life. The gopis also had a very similar mood. So they were also liberated very similarly to the cowherd boys. They are also satam. So this verse, Sanatana Goswami says, is also applicable to the cowherd girls. Because Krishna's affection would tear apart their hearts, filling with so much love. You know, when the heart, it's like tearing apart the heart and filling it, like pouring in love into that heart and closing it. That's how the gopis would feel when they would think about Krishna. And the cowherd boys, these cowherd boys of Raja, they became so eligible to play with Krishna, like as if Krishna is one of them. Krishna is their very, very close friend. So therefore, obviously, they must have performed heaps and heaps of pious deeds in their previous life. So this verse talks about pious deeds. Now, everyone knows that when we talk about pious deeds, especially with respect to the cowherd boys and girls or any of the residents of Vrindavan, it is not some sort of mundane piety. This piety is a very, very special piety. It is transcendental piety. So therefore, the word used here is punja, krita punya punja. Punja means heavy, heavy quantity. So piles and piles of pious deeds. So that means these boys, they have an inexhaustible stock of pious deeds and the work, the piety of their past lives is not something ordinary, but it is something very, very special. Krita punya punja means they have done something extremely special. And what is that something very special? They have done pure acts of sacrifice, pure acts of devotion, service order offered unto the Supreme Lord for his pleasure only. So when this punya is very, very special, it is of a very special quality, when it is done in a mood of sacrifice, only for Supreme Lord's pleasure, only for the happiness of the Supreme Lord, then it is a very special punya. So like this, these boys, they have accrued so much special punya and the stock is so heavy, you know, it's been piled up so much punya, stocks and stocks of punya. And they have done the greatest of all religious principles. As it is said, the Dharmo Mad Bhakti Krit Proktyaha, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.27. It says that the topmost punya or the topmost dharma that one can ever perform is that which is related to devotional service. So therefore the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in 11th canto, it mentions something very important. This is a verse from 11th canto, 19th chapter, verse number 27. It says, actual religious principles are stated to be those that lead one to my devotional service. Krishna is talking in this verse. He says, real knowledge is the awareness that reveals my all-pervading presence. Detachment is complete disinterest in the objects of material sense gratification and opulence in the eight mystic perfections such as anima siddhi. So therefore he says, the real principle of religion or the real piety or the best that you can get is actually that which leads to devotional service. So in this verse, when we see that the cowherd boys have accrued so much piety, it means they have accrued that transcendental piety, not any sort of mundane piety. And when we say Krita Punja, that means Krita means it has produced. Okay? Krita Punja, Punya. Punja Krita Punya, that is what the verse is. So when it says Krit, means it is to produce. But Krita can also mean in ancient time, because we all know Krita Yuga means Satya Yuga. That means what? Ancient time in Satya Yuga. Oftentimes Satya Yuga is, the word Satya Yuga is also used, the word Krita Yuga is also used to mean Satya Yuga. So therefore, in ancient times, these great souls have performed so much faultless meditation on the Supreme Lord, and they have in course of time become all-round perfect Vaishnavas, and later they have become Krishna's friends. So that can also be understood from this verse. So when this verse says that these people have accrued so much heavy piety, it can also be understood in another way, that they have been meditating on the Supreme Lord for so long, since Satya Yuga, when the process of meditation was so rampant, everyone would sit and meditate. So from that time, from such age-old times, these devotees of Krishna, they have been doing meditation and they have become perfect Vaishnavas over a period of time, and today they are playing as Krishna's cowherd friends. So like this, Sanatana Goswami, he churns out various ways of understanding these terms and understanding the great fortune of the cowherd boys. Although the darling son of Nanda Maharaj is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, very, very few devotees are really fortunate to understand him as he is. There are many devotees of Supal Krishna from time immemorial, but many of them, they have just been knowers of the impersonal Brahman. And they were only seeking after the Brahman happiness. They were not really trying to understand Krishna as he is. Though they, you know, try to know Krishna in various ways, still somehow or the other, they have been eluded by this conception of impersonal liberation. And in their hearts, they were running after this Brahman happiness. And there were other devotees who were Vaishnavas, but still they could not they were very happy to understand Krishna, but they were only happy to understand Krishna as Satchidananda Vigraha, meaning that he is the supreme embodiment of eternity, bliss and knowledge. He is the supreme truth and he is great and I am his servant. So they still had this sense of awe and veneration, but they are good, they are great Vaishnavas. But even beyond them, there were some Vaishnavas who were really, really freed from this conception of awe and veneration. And all that they wanted to experience was this feelings of prema or feelings of love for Krishna. So only such devotees, only such great fortunate devotees had this opportunity to associate with Krishna as cowherd boys in the land of Vrindavan. So these were the gopas, and these gopas were extremely fortunate. A question can be asked here, that weren't these gopas eternal associates? Yes, of course, many of them, most of them were eternal associates, but there were other cowherd boys who had also perfected their lives from various lifetimes, and they were also permitted to enjoy these pastimes with Krishna in Vrindavan. So the associates of Krishna are always a mix. They were also sadhana siddhas who had perfected their lives, and now they had the opportunity to enter into Krishna's pastimes. And as we already mentioned earlier, this verse is also applicable to the gopis. In the same way, it is also applicable to the gopis. And the gopis also, they always felt this transcendental anxiety, just like the cowherd boys, who felt a little anxiety, not little, a lot of anxiety when Krishna would go away to a far place. So similarly, imagine the state of the cowherd girls. They would also feel so much love for Krishna, so much separation from Krishna. And they would feel that, you know, these in their from their point of view, they felt that the cowherd boys are actually more fortunate than themselves, because the cowherd boys, they had this free opportunity to go into the forest along with Krishna and freely associate with him. But however, the cowherd girls during the daytime, they never had any opportunity to go with Krishna like this so freely. And even during the late evenings, when they would go and try to meet Krishna, they were always pressurized by their family. They always had this family pressure where they couldn't constantly associate with Krishna, and they had this threat of opposition from their family members. So these cowherd girls, they felt that the cowherd boys were actually more free to play with Krishna in the forests of Vrindavan. So therefore, the fortune of the cowherd boys in this verse seems to be very, very great. And Shukadev Goswami describes these statements in the Srimad Bhagavatam with so much love for the cowherd boys, and he calls them as one of the greatest recipients of mercy of Krishna. Now, when Shukadev Goswami says that, oh, these gopas were the most fortunate, they were the greatest recipients of the mercy of Krishna, then obviously it may be quite contradictory to the other statements in the Bhagavatam that describe the gopis indeed to be the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy, because this is what we have been seeing throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Not only part 2 but also part 1. The whole topic of part 1 of Brihad Bhagavatamrita was to see who was the greatest recipient of the mercy of Lord Sri Krishna, and everybody knows it is indeed the cowherd girls. So why would Shukadev Goswami give so much stress on the fortune of the cowherd boys? Oh, they are the most fortunate, and they could see Krishna, they could touch Krishna, they could be with Krishna. So that is this statement, you know, one may ask, is the statement of Shukadev Goswami in this particular verse contradictory to the other statements in the Bhagavatam that he has made about the great fortune of the cowherd women of Vrindavan, especially the young gopis? The answer is no, because Shukadev Goswami, in the core of his heart, he's a follower of the mood of the gopis. So he's also a follower of the gopis. And the gopis felt like this. The gopis felt that the cowherd boys were most fortunate. So they felt, they were actually echoing their words in another verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.7, where the gopis were telling. The gopis were telling that these cowherd boys are so fortunate because they are able to go with Krishna into the forests, and they are able to get the association of Krishna constantly. Whereas we are not so fortunate because we are always kept away, and we have to, you know, secretly go and meet Krishna. So where did they say that? They said this in Bhagavatam 10.21.7. They said, oh friends, the eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are certainly fortunate. As these two sons, surrounded by their friends, enter the forest, driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouth and lovingly glance upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have the eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. So in this verse, actually, if you analyze, the gopis, they are glorifying the cowherd boys who have this constant association of Krishna and who are able to drink the beautiful face, the nectar from the beautiful face of Krishna and Balaram constantly surrounding him in the forests of Vrindavan. So that is the mood of the gopis. And Shukadev Goswami, all that he is doing in this particular verse is that he is just echoing the mood of the gopis. He knows that the gopis also feel the same. And let me follow in the footsteps of the gopis and let me glorify the cowherd boys as being extremely fortunate. So that is how Sanatan Goswami explains these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. So this was still verse number 11. Of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of the 12th chapter of the 10th canto. Now we are going to go into the next verse, which is a very interesting verse. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 10, chapter 12, verse number 12. I'll read the translation. Yogis may undergo severe austerities and penances for many births. Yet in due course of time, when these yogis attain the perfection of controlling the mind, they are unable to taste even a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then to describe about the great fortune of the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi, with whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead lived with, and the boys who saw the Lord face to face. So again, this is a glorification of the cowherd boys. They had this great opportunity to constantly associate with Krishna, be with him and see him face to face. So Shukadev Goswami says that actually there are so many impersonalist jnanis who have been meditating for so many years, but they have not had the opportunity to get the touch of the dust particles from Rajabhumi that has touched the feet of Lord Sri Krishna. They have not had this opportunity. But look at the fortune of the cowherd boys. So the fortune of the cowherd boys is such that they have been able to see Krishna face to face, and they are certainly very, very fortunate because they are playing with Krishna constantly. So therefore, these residents of Rajabhumi, especially the cowherd boys, are extremely fortunate because they could constantly drink the beauty of Krishna. Whereas the yogis, the great yogis who have been endeavoring for from one lifetime to the other, they have been trying to approach Krishna, but they don't even have a single hope of being as fortunate as the Brajavasis, or they don't even have the hope of getting a particle of dust from Krishna's lotus feet. It is impossible for the yogis to achieve. Why? Because unless one follows in the humble mood, in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, it is very, very difficult to actually get even a particle of dust from the lotus feet of Krishna and a particle of dust from the lotus feet of Krishna's devotees. Unless one is ready to follow in their footsteps, it's going to be very, very hard. And in this verse, the meaning of the dust from Krishna's feet, it can be understood in various ways, Sanatana Goswami says. He says this dust can be understood in various ways. It can just mean a single atom from his lotus feet, or it can mean the footprints of Krishna in the dust of Rajabhumi, or it can mean that any dust that has come in contact with his lotus feet and then it has been shaken off somewhere in his wanderings. So imagine when Krishna is walking in Rajabhumi, if supposing somebody has had an opportunity to get the dust of one particle of the lotus feet of Krishna, how fortunate they must be. Sometimes Krishna touches the Rajabhumi. I mean, he always walks with barefoot. And when his lotus imprints are there, if someone gets to see that lotus print or gets the dust from that lotus print of Krishna's lotus feet, how fortunate they must be. Or maybe sometimes when Krishna is walking, there is some dust that is collected on his feet, and as he's walking in different places, he goes to a distant place and there one small atomic particle of this dust has fallen in a place where he generally doesn't go. But in a distant place it has fallen. Then someone who is living there has got the opportunity to come in contact with that particle of dust. How fortunate we are. So like this, the dust from Krishna's lotus feet can be understood at various levels. It can also mean, the same word when it is split in a different way. Actually, the word is Krishna Padamshu. Krishna Padamshu. Padamshu means Krishna's dust from Krishna's lotus feet. But the same word, it can also be understood in a way that when you divide this verse, you can also divide it as Krishna Padapa Amshu. Padapa means food drinker, one who drinks from the feet. Padapa, one who drinks from the feet. Who drinks from the feet? It's the trees, right? So the trees are called as Padapas. And even if, forget about the dust and a particle of dust or, the effulgence from the dust, forget all that. Even if one has the opportunity to come in contact from the effulgence of the tree, Padapa Amshu, okay? If they can get an effulgence from the tree from where Krishna has given contact. If Krishna has given contact to one of the trees and there is an effulgence coming out from the Kadamba tree or the Tamala tree or whatever tree, even if someone gets that opportunity to come in contact with that effulgence, how fortunate he is. So any of this is very, very fortunate. But these mystic yogis, they are trying so hard, birth after birth. And for them to get any of this has become a very rare accomplishment. They are not able to get any of these. So these yogis, they are so determined and they are trying hard to succeed with all their spiritual disciplines and austerities. They are following strict brahmacharyas for so many lives. They are trying to withdraw their mind and senses from all these material objects. But still, even in fact, they are able to even attain samadhi. That is a great success. Who can attain samadhi? It is so hard to attain samadhi. They are able to do all that, but still, they are not able to achieve this success of getting this atomic particle from Krishna's lotus feet. It is beyond the purview of their senses. So that is very, very unfortunate, because only the Vrajavasis can actually see him as he is. Unless you see Krishna as he is, in the form of the Supreme Lord, in the form of his, as the original source, in the mood of the Vrajavasis, following in the mood of the Vrajavasis, it is very, very hard to really understand Krishna. You can even understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Lord Narayana in terms of awe and reverence, but it is very hard to understand Krishna as he is. For that, you definitely need the mercy of the Vrajavasis. So therefore, the Vrajavasis are very, very extremely fortunate, because they are constantly associating with Krishna, and the followers of the Vrajavasis are extremely fortunate, because we get a glimpse of actually who Krishna is. Not everyone gets that glimpse. Those who are followers of the residents of Vrindavan, those who follow in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, they are able to get a glimpse of this Supreme Lord, who is the source of all other incarnations and who is so easily accessible. So the glimpse of the real Krishna, not many people get, unless they are connected to the eternal associates of the Lord in Vrajagopi. And indeed, we are very, very fortunate to be in this glorious parampara, where we get a glimpse of this Krishna. We get a glimpse of this Krishna. Whether we have realized or not is a different story. But at least we have this opportunity to get a quick glimpse, by the mercy of our acharyas, of who this Lord is, who the Supreme Lord is, what is his personal nature, how is he so accessible, how is he able to relate with every devotee in so many rasas. So it is a very great fortune that we all have, by the mercy of these great associates of the Supreme Lord, who are following in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. So the Vrajavasis situation, we should understand, these cowherd boys who are playing with Krishna, it is not an effect of their karmic pious activities done in the previous lifetimes. We have discussed this in great detail. But however, we should understand, whatever has happened is because of Krishna's mercy. This is another point, that unless Krishna is merciful to us, there is no scope of devotional service. There's absolutely no scope. Everything happens because of the causeless mercy of the Lord. Because of the causeless mercy of the Lord, we have been fortunate to come in contact with the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because of the causeless mercy of the Lord, we have been fortunate to come in contact with Vaishnavas who have inspired us. So everything is ultimately because of the mercy of Krishna, and Krishna's mercy is inconceivable, and the fortune that everyone has attained, it can be even a minute fraction of fortune. We are not as fortunate as someone who is very advanced, but even that minute fraction is possible if Krishna is merciful. So Krishna is a very, very merciful Lord, and he has given all of us this opportunity. And so we can imagine, even this little mercy has given us such great fortune. Then imagine the great fortune of these cowherd boys who are constantly associating with Krishna. His mercy is really, really wonderful. And these cowherd boys have been recipients of this great mercy. So, and what else is the great fortune of these cowherd boys? These cowherd boys, wherever they see only Krishna. Generally, we all have multiple senses. We have eyes, we have nose, we have ears, we have so many senses. And the function of each of these is the object of that sense. Like, for example, a nose means it has to smell, eyes means it has to hear, eyes means it has to see, ears means it has to hear. But then, so as a general rule, we understand that each individual sense has its own proper object. But the sense of the cowherd boys is such that they are so engrossed in Krishna that they are disregardful of whatever else is present before them. Meaning, the eyes is just, when the eyes is perceiving Krishna, they are forgetful of the remaining senses. The remaining senses stop functioning because they just see Krishna everywhere. And if the remaining senses are demanding, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, their demands are put to rest because they are fully focused on just seeing Krishna. And when they are seeing Krishna, they are just seeing Krishna everywhere. So their senses are so focused. If the eyes are seeing Krishna, they are just seeing Krishna. They are not able to perceive anything else other than Krishna. They are seeing Krishna everywhere. To them, everywhere, wherever they are seeing is only Krishna. When they see the grass, they are seeing Krishna. When they are seeing the tree, they are seeing Krishna. Everywhere, they are just getting the special vision of Krishna everywhere because their senses are so tuned towards just seeing Krishna everywhere. And this is very similar to the poetry of Sri Jayadev Goswami, who illustrates a very special kind of a vision that is described in this verse. He also talks about this in Gita Govinda, in 12.1 Gita Govinda. He says about Radharani. He talks about Radharani. Radharani also had this kind of a feeling. And Jayadev Goswami, he says, Pashyati dishi dishi rahasi bhavantam. In every direction, in every secret corner, she sees only you. So this is how the cowherd boys were. Everywhere, every corner, they could only perceive Krishna. So they were undergoing so many sweet emotions as they were treading in this forest of Vrindavan with Lord Sri Krishna. How fortunate these cowherd boys are. So going on to the next verse. Now what has happened is, all this while we were seeing this 12th chapter, verses from 12th chapter. 12th chapter is the killing of Aghasura. That's when the cowherd boys go into the forest for a picnic, as they are carrying lunch boxes in their hands and they are throwing it, and then they sit down, and after the Aghasura pastime, they sit down, they eat yogurt rice, and then they kill the demon Aghasura, then they eat, and then the Brahma Vimohan Leela follows. So that is the chapter that we were seeing all this while, especially dedicated for the cowherd boys. So now, these few verses that Parikshit quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam are the verses that were spoken in the 15th chapter. 15th chapter, the killing of Dhenukasura. So in the beginning of the 15th chapter, killing of Dhenukasura, the focus is on Balram, because Balram is the hero of the chapter. He's the one who killed Dhenukasura. And this is the chapter where there are many verses in glorification of Balaram. You know, Krishna is glorifying Balaram in various ways. Following in that chapter, in the 16th verse of the chapter, there is a very beautiful verse that talks about the great fortune of the cowherd boys. And that verse says, this is Canto 10, chapter 15, verse number 16. The chapter name is Killing of Dhenukasura. That verse is like this. Sometimes Lord Krishna grew tired from fighting, and he lay down on the base of a tree, resting upon a bed made of soft twigs and buds, and using the lap of a cowherd friend as his pillow. This is 10:5:16. So another very beautiful intimate relationship between the cowherd boys and Krishna. How Krishna, after all his wrestling matches that he would have, and even after killing demons, Krishna would become very tired. He would become tired from fighting, and he would want to rest. Afternoon time, after lunch, everyone likes to take a nap. So when Krishna wants, after he's killed a demon and he's done all this, when he feels tired, what he does is he goes to the base of a tree. And when he goes to the base of this tree, his cowherd friends are already getting things ready for him. So they've already made a bed of soft twigs and buds, and Krishna is ready to lie down. He uses the lap of one of his cowherd friend as a pillow, and he lies down. And generally this cowherd boy is mentioned as Sri Ram, who is generally the lap giver for Krishna, whose lap is being used by Krishna most of the times, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna, these pastimes of Krishna with the cowherd boys were generally described during the Paugandha Leela of Krishna. That's when he tends cows in the Vrindavan forest. So Krishna would enjoy various pastimes, and he would like to rest at different points after he got fatigued after wrestling with his friends. And in various places, he would choose various places, various scenic spots to enjoy this pastime of lying down, where there is cool breeze from the river Yamuna. So he would select a nice spot on the shores of the river Yamuna. He would select an ideal tree and he would want to rest very comfortably. He would choose the base of a kadamba tree or a tamal tree or any tree that gives ample shade. And anticipating that Krishna is going to come and rest and have pastimes with his dear cowherd boys, Vrinda Devi, who is the authority of Vrindavan, who is the, who arranges all the pastimes in Vrindavan, she understands that Krishna is going to come and he is going to take rest. So Vrinda Devi, very lovingly, she makes arrangements so that Krishna has soft beds. So she makes sure that there are soft leaves and flowers and young twigs waiting there at the bases of trees. So she makes all that arrangement with her magical style, and then everything is set for Krishna so that Krishna and his Gopa friends can come and make use of this bedding when they have arrived. And sometimes the cowherd boys take up this service. The cowherd boys, they want to make very soft bed. So they hurry up, and before Krishna can come and rest, they take this opportunity and they arrange a very beautiful bedding for Krishna. Sometimes the cowherd boys, only one cowherd boy would start making this bed, but sometimes several different cowherd boys would come and they will all simultaneously arrange one bed. And sometimes it is so interesting that so many cowherd boys would be there and everybody would want to serve Krishna, so they would make multiple beds. And because so many cowherd boys have made so many multiple beds, Krishna would like to expand himself to many, many forms and then serve the cowherd boys by lying down on all these multiple beds in such a way that every cowherd boy thinks that Krishna is lying down only on my bed. So every cowherd boy just feels that, oh, Krishna is just here. Krishna has just accepted my service like that. Just like how when he would take lunch and everybody would sit around Krishna, everyone would feel Krishna is just looking at me. Like that, these cowherd boys, sometimes all the cowherd boys would make one bed. Sometimes each cowherd boy would like to make their own individual beds, and Krishna would satisfy everyone by sleeping on multiple beds, by taking multiple forms and making everybody happy. And the general lap that was chosen for some reason was his intimate friend, Srimati Radharani's brother, Sridham. So Sridham was this fortunate bestower of his lap to Krishna. Now one more verse. This is verse number 17. Some of the cowherd boys who were all great souls free of all sin would then massage his lotus feet, and others would expertly fan him. So what happened after they made the bed? What were the other services that the cowherd boys did? So when Krishna's cowherd boys would be with Krishna, they really loved him so much. They really loved him so much that they didn't want to see him fatigued. You know, they didn't like that. So they wanted to serve him. They wanted to respond in various ways so that they could relieve Krishna of the discomfort that he was having. And in the flurry of the activity, these boys, they would get so excited. They would get so excited to immediately go and massage his feet. Some would massage his hands, some would massage his feet, and the other boys would start fanning him. So sometimes all these services, they were performed by multiple gopas. And sometimes 3-4 gopas would catch hold of the feet. Because everyone would want to serve him in various ways. And sometimes everyone liked one particular limb that they would massage. Sometimes multiple people would come and catch hold of one limb. And then Krishna would think, okay, everybody wants to serve me. So again, Krishna would, he was all pervasive. He would take multiple forms so that all these boys could be satisfied. And every boy would think that I'm the one who's massaging Krishna's lotus feet or his arms or fanning him. So like this, so many gopas would have this transcendental opportunity to render beautiful, beautiful services to Krishna. And Krishna would be so happy, and all these cowherd boys enjoyed this pastimes with Krishna. Some would be joking with Krishna. Some would sing with Krishna. Some would sing for Krishna. They would love to entertain Krishna in various ways. So like this, everybody had an opportunity to serve Krishna in various ways. And Krishna, he displayed his supreme power by extending himself to all these cowherd boys, at the same time not hampering their spotless love and devotion by showing his his supremacy. Rather, they would just see that my dear cowherd boyfriend is there for me. They would not think of him, oh, he's a supreme lord, he has expanded into a million forms. They would not think like that. They would just relish the sweetness, because Krishna made sure that the Vrajavasis never, their sweetness of enjoyment was never hampered. So like this, Krishna would enjoy his childhood pastimes, and he would enchant everybody. And Krishna's friends, surely all their sins were destroyed, because again this verse talks about the point that these cowherd boys were sinless. And definitely these cowherd boys were sinless. We have already discussed that in great detail. For ordinary pious persons, whatever contradicts the principles of religion is sin. But for devotees of the Supreme Lord, sin is anything that obstructs pure devotional service. And we see that for the cowherd boys of Raja, they did not have the slightest inclination to perform any sort of sin. Meaning, they did not have the slightest inclination to do anything that does not please Krishna. See, you see the definition of sin. For normal people, what is sin? Sin means when you break religious principles. But then for devotees like these cowherd boys, sin means not doing, sin means not engaging in Krishna's devotional service. So that is sin. So these cowherd boys, they did not, they were sinless means even 1 second they did not want to waste. Every second they wanted to use in the service of Krishna. Anything that obstructs pure devotional service for them was sin. So they did not have the slightest inclination to do anything that did not please Krishna. So like this, they are described as hatapapama, means they have conquered all sin. And of course, Krishna himself is the one who has conquered sins. He has destroyed the sins of all these world, all the different worlds, by just displaying his pastimes. Just by being present there, he has destroyed all sins around, because he has given the opportunity to the cowherd boys to enjoy freely with him. So wherever Krishna's pastimes are happening, whenever he is enchanting his devotees, there is no question of sin. So like this, Shukadev Goswami, Sanatan Goswami gives very beautiful commentaries on this verse. We are moving on to the 18th verse of this set in Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we'll stop, because all this is about the cowherd boys. This is the 18th verse in Bhagavatam of this chapter, Killing of the Indukasura, that chapter. It goes like this. It says, my dear king, so Shukadev Goswami is addressing Parikshit in Bhagavatam, but Parikshit is repeating that verse here to Mother Uttara. So the verse is, my dear king, other boys would sing songs appropriate for the occasion that would enchant Krishna, and the heart of the boys would melt out of love for him. So we have touched upon this. So these boys, they had opportunities to sing fascinating songs for Krishna so that they could put Krishna to sleep. Just like little kids, when they want to go to sleep, they ask their mother, can you tell me a story, or can you sing for me? Traditionally, we have been doing all that. So we sing little songs to put the kids to rest. Like that, these boys, Krishna was their friend, intimate friend. So they would enjoy such loving pastimes with Krishna. And sometimes they would want to sing to Krishna so that Krishna would rest comfortably. He would feel good and he would go to rest nicely. So that he could fall asleep quickly. That was the mood of the gopas. So they would present beautiful songs in front of him. And some of the songs that they would sing was his dealings with the gopis. So they like to sing those songs. And Krishna would be so happy listening to those songs, because it would remind him of his dear devotees, the gopis. So like this, the cowherd boys, they would make such beautiful, beautiful songs and they would sing. And as they are singing, actually their hearts would melt. Because see, this Kirtanam is such an important limb of devotional service. In fact, Sankirtanam or Kirtanam is the thing that it involves singing about Krishna's glory and fame. So if one is doing Sankirtan, it is in fact the fastest way of perfecting devotional service and attaining the symptoms of prema. Actually, it is the fastest way. And the Cowherd boys, they showed this. As they were singing, they would get into ecstasy when they would sing these glories of Krishna, his dealings with different devotees in Vrindavan. When they would sing all this, they would start manifesting symptoms of ecstasy. Their heart would really melt in ecstasy. So when we glorify the name, fame and pastimes of Krishna, it is actually a very fast method of progressing in devotional service, because it is so capable, this kirtan or this chanting of the holy names is so capable of purifying the entire universe. And it is indeed the fastest way of awakening pure love of God. So that is the Yuga Dharma also. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give this Yuga Dharma. And we are all such fortunate recipients of this Yuga Dharma. And we are able to chant the holy names of Krishna. Krishna is very, very merciful. He has given all this, what the Cowherd boys were doing there in Vrindavan, a glimpse of that he has given to us. And we also have this opportunity of singing beautiful songs of Krishna, singing the names of Krishna and glorifying Krishna in various ways. And in this verse, we see that Shukadev Goswami is addressing Parikshit Maharaj as Maharaja. Maharaja, you know what? These Cowherd boys, they had the opportunities of singing songs for Krishna. So when Shukadeva Goswami is addressing Parikshit Maharaj as Maharaja, it means that Krishna's, these royal pastimes of Krishna are fit to be heard by a Maharaja like Parikshit. Shukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj, oh Parikshit Maharaj, you are Maharaja, but look at this Maharaja who is enjoying under the tree, having these wonderful, hearing these beautiful songs and enjoying these massages from his Cowherd boys. He is actually Maharaja. You are a very ordinary Maharaja. Look at that Maharaja. Now, Maharaja can also mean that this Parikshit was so fortunate that he was the greatest king who was able to hear all these pastimes of Krishna. And only a Maharaja is fit to hear these pastimes, these glorious royal pastimes. So like that, in various ways, Shukdev Goswami was also talking to Parikshit Maharaj, calling him Maharaja. And also this Parikshit Maharaj at this point in time, he was also getting bewildered. He was getting into this ecstasy as he was hearing about the ecstasies of the Cowherd boys. He was also getting into an ecstasy. And Shukadev Goswami, who was speaking about these glories, he was also getting into an ecstasy. The both of them were getting bewildered. So at this point, Shukadev Goswami, he wanted to call out to Parikshit, calling him, "Hey Maharaja! Hold on, don't, you know, faint in ecstasy. So listen to this glorious pastimes of the Cowherd boys." Like this, in various ways, Shukadev Goswami, as he was talking about the glories of the Cowherd boys, he was addressing Parikshit as Maharaja. So like this, the Cowherd boys, they had this sublime fortune of staying with Krishna wherever he went during the daytime. And these Cowherd boys, they really enjoyed splendid pastimes with Krishna. Their love was overflowing, and they had this opportunity of being in an intimate setting with Krishna, and they had opportunities to erupt in ecstasy in Krishna's presence. So like this, especially this particular setting of the Cowherd boys sitting with Krishna on the base of the tree and talking about the intimate pastimes of Krishna with other devotees like the Cowherd girls and others, that gave the Cowherd boys some sort of extra happiness. And that happiness is being reflected in this verse. And that happiness was spreading so much so that both Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj were also getting ecstatic, making everybody around them ecstatic. So like this, the Cowherd boys enjoyed with Krishna, and these Cowherd boys were indeed one of the most fortunate personalities in the land of Raja. So with that, we'll end this session, and we have gone over time already. And in our next session, we will look at the devotees in Vatsalya Rasa, like Nanda and Yashoda. That is going to be very interesting. So we will see that in our next session. We'll stop here for now, and sorry for going over time. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, corrections, realizations, please go ahead. Hare Krishna. Everyone
neutral? Hare Krishna, Preeti, Mataji. I don't have a question, but I just wanted to say thank you for another beautiful class. I really enjoyed the descriptions of the dust of Krishna's lotus feet, you know, how it was spread and the atoms and the atomic particles and yeah, I thought that was so sweet. I love how in this text we always get those kinds of, you know, detailed descriptions. And of course, the way that you tell, you know, you share these pastimes is always so enthusiastic and it always pulls us in. So thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tiffany Mataji. You just make everyone happy. Your face makes us all happy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's how I feel when I see everyone. I'm so happy that we get to see each other now. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanavad Prana. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class and all stories of cohort boys and everything. Mataji, I have one question. It said like all cohort boys are demigods. Like initially when Krishna is going to appear, like everybody went there to the milk ocean and then Krishna said, right, you all can go and take birth and then I'm going to come. So exactly how to understand, Mataji?
So, Mataji, this is at various levels. Yes, there were different cowherd boys who were eternal associates of the Lord who came directly from Goloka Vrindavan. There were some who had perfected their lives and who had an opportunity to associate with Krishna as sadhana siddhas. From their previous lives, they had perfected and now they had entry into Vrindavan and they could associate with the cowherd boys. So like that. But as far as the, the people going and the devotees, the demigods going and praying to Krishna to be born in the land of Vrindavan to enjoy the pastimes with Krishna. Generally, those people were all the descendants of the Yadu dynasty, Mataji. The people who got the boons, the demigods. You'll see when before Krishna's appearance, they all go and headed by Brahma, they all go and pray to the Lord in Shiv Sagar. That time, they say that many of them come down as descendants of the Yadu dynasty, the demigods. But it doesn't discount the fact that many of the gopas, most of the gopas were eternal associates, but some of them were also sadhana siddhas. So just like gopis, you must have heard several times the gopis, some were wives of the demigods. Some of the gopis were apsara. Some of the gopis were the sages from Dandakaranya forest when Lord Ramachandra were there. Rishichari gopis, Munichari gopis, so many types of gopis are there, right? And of course, they were eternal associates of gopis as well. So like that, there are different gopas. Some were eternal, some were not. Some were munis, they just perfected and they came. Sadhana siddhas.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Yeah, very beautiful class, Mataji. All the pastimes we could see. And especially you are telling like when Krishna was just moving a little bit far and going up and climbing a stone and want to see Vrindavan. And we could see that you are showing nicely. And I mean, like we could understand, you could see Krishna in front of you, Mataji. Very nice. Inward, in your mood was into that. So we could also go in there, Mataji, and see how Krishna is standing on the hill and he wants to see Vrindavan. And now these gopas are running around him. It was so nice, Mataji. Very nice. Very, very beautiful. And that lunchbox pastime and everything. So beautiful, Mataji. So beautiful pastimes. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Vinita Mataji. Thank you for your valuable, valuable association. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanavad Pranam. So glorious to Shri Prabhupada. Thank you for your such a beautiful class. As Tiffany Mataji said, another beautiful session. I just have one question.
Yeah.
Not a question, but as a doubt. Like you said that, you know, there were some people who because of their intense piety. The word Sanskrit, what word you used?
Punjakrita punya.
Punjakrita punya. So, my question is that how do we define that piety? Because till now we all know that how the piety, no matter what immense piety you do, it will lead to heavenly planets. But again, you know, once the piety is over, you have to come back. Whereas the devotional service is such, it doesn't fall under this category of punya with impiety and sin. And therefore, you know, it's a karma. And then you perfect your life and then you can, you know, associate with the Supreme Lord. So how to understand this piety, Mother?
Yeah. So this piety was described in three ways. One is that it is definitely transcendental piety. It's not any sort of mundane piety. The commentary of the Acharyas will reveal what it is. So what he has done is he has given commentary and he has tried to make us understand it in various ways. One is it's transcendental piety. It is not some sort of a mundane piety. And the piety that they are talking about is for, as far as devotees are concerned, what is piety and what is non-piety? Piety means seeing Krishna, sin or non-piety means not seeing Krishna or not thinking about Krishna. Anything that is against devotional service is impiety. Anything that is for devotional service is piety. So the definition of piety is steered towards a devotee's understanding of transcendental piety. And then in another place, in three places he describes Sanatan Goswami. One is he just clearly said, okay, this is not some sort of mundane piety. Second thing he said, for them to be with Krishna itself is piety. A second without Krishna is impiety, like that. And then he also mentioned that about the Satya Yuga, there were people, transcendentalists from the previous lives, they were all trying to meditate on Krishna in various ways and they tried to perfect. Some of them they attained impersonal. Some of them could attain the understanding of the Supreme Lord as Sachidananda Vigraha. He's great, I am his servant, but they could not get rid of the awe and reverence. But there were a few who through the process of devotional service, they eventually became Vaishnavas, meaning like they perfected devotional service, they became Vaishnavas, and then they could understand Krishna as he is, as Arshyamasundara Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, the one from whom everything comes and the one who is so accessible without the mood of awe and reverence. So, generally first, I mean, it's just a gradation that he was explaining. It is not just the mundane piety that led them to become devotee. It was a combination of first you have to, of course, you have to come to the higher modes, like become, perform certain sukrit, and then you get this mercy of Krishna, you get bhakti unmukha sukriti, then you advance slowly, then you become a Vaishnava, and then you understand Krishna the way he is. So piety, yes, punya, so when this verse is talks of punya, it is just not a mundane punya, rather the term punya itself is to be understood in the mood of a devotee accruing transcendental punya. So did that make sense, Mataji?
Oh, yes. Yes, Mataji, definitely, definitely that makes sense. That, you are talking about the transcendental piety and not the mundane piety that takes us to some heavenly planets. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji, for such a beautiful class and beautiful answer. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kirtika Sundari Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
And cool.
Very nice class, Mataji. You explained all the pastimes of Krishna with the cowherd voice so beautifully. We have this book, Krishna Krida, by Bharat Chandra Das. We had got this for Akshita. When you were explaining, I could imagine how they were all playing. It has beautiful pictures also, and all the games which you are explaining, they're all there in that book.
Because you do share the pictures on the group.
Sure, I will share.
That book has a lot of games.
Yeah. So, and some of them, like we used to play in childhood, but we never knew that origin is from Krishna, you know, they were all playing. So wonderful book. And thank you so much for explaining so beautifully. Like you were saying, they were mimicking the birds and taking out the voice sounds. They were making sounds of birds and all. It's all there. So thank you, Mataji. I have a question. I think it's it's about yesterday's class also. Like yesterday we heard that Bhagavan Acharya was also Gopa. And Sarup Damodar is Lalita Sakhi, and they had a friendship, like they had a Sakya Bhav. So how do we understand that in Krishna Leela? In Krishna Leela also, like Gopas and Gopis, they have the same like Sakya Bhav, or like how it is?
So it depends on the particular Gopi and the particular Gopa. Each one had a particular mood. Some of the gopis, they were, so each one had a particular mode. Like, for example, Madhumangal was always constantly accompanying Krishna. And even during the Surya Puja and other pastimes, you'll see Madhumangal comes as this Brahmana, hungry Brahmana. And he's also facilitating the pastime of Krishna with the gopis. Sometimes he even facilitates, he helps Krishna to sneak out and go and see. So yes, they did have some sort of a friendly relationship where they would aid each other's pastimes, especially the gopas aiding the pastimes with the gopis was more clearly seen. It was more often seen. We also heard from Lalita Madhava, right? So many pastimes in the mid-morning. So nice. They were all... So it was a very friendly, nice. But again, each gopa and each gopi had a specific mood. Some of them would chastise the gopas. Some of them would be friendly to the gopas.
Okay, Master. Thank you.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you again for a beautiful class. Thank you.
Thank you, Master. Thank you, Brinda Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Ganda Pranam, all glories to Guru and Gauranga. Mataji, can you hear me?
Yes, Radhika Mataji.
Awesome class, Mataji. Wonderful to know about the Gopas. As you said, each one has I think you mentioned each one has certain punya because of which we are able to relish Krishna. And even with this little punya that we have, we are able to relish so much and think of how much you would be able to relish if you have, comparing to how Gopas had. Mm-hmm. That was a wonderful point. I really loved that. And then the other point that stuck to me was senses, how they were involved. If one sense is performing some action, the other senses wouldn't get disturbed. Because their focus is completely on that particular action. And all other senses, I think, cooperate and they get involved with the action of that particular sense, which is leading. And absolutely, Mataji, that was a brilliant point, and I really loved it, and it stuck to my heart. Thank you so much, Mataji, for helping us relish Krishna Katha.
Thank you, Radhika Pusturi, Mataji. Thank you so much for coming on the call and sharing your valuable realizations with us. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Gopi, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Sridham Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. How nice you narrating, Mataji, totally observe in a Leela, and how nicely you explain about the Gopas and the Gopis and the Lalita Sakhi, Vishakha Sakhi, and especially Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani. She is engaged in the service of Srimati Radharani, and she arranged Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna will meet to each other, and Kusum Sarovar and Mataji Kukur and the rivers and Yamuna Maharani's and all the Sridham Vrinda. When Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani came for in a material world, that time they will come with the all the paramparas, so that those who are staying in Sridham Vrindavan Dham, they are not ordinary personality, Mataji. They are Rishi Munis, and they are so many thousand of years they are doing seva, then they are qualified to enter in a Shri Shri Radharani's Leela and Nidhivan, and you explain about that tiffin lunch box is sharing with each other, and how they are fortunate. Mataji, it's touched to heart that Lord Krishna is eating that prasadam with their hand, Mataji, and how fortunate that monkeys and Leelas and the Vrindavan Raj, those who are taking enter in Vrindavan Dham, in because Lord Krishna is and Krishna Balaram is walking in Shitam Vrindavan Dham without shoes. How fortunes all they are, they get the association of Shitam Vrindavan Dham, and we are not qualified to enter in Shitam Vrindavan Dham or Mataji, but by hearing your Leelas, Mataji, it's clear like Vishwarup Prabhu, Ankinchan Prabhu, Bhakti Taru Maharaj, Bhakti Tit Maharaj, Gopakrishna Maharaj, Niranjan Maharaj, they all are coming in Kartik Mantin, Sri Radha Gopinath, and they explain the Dham Leelas, Mataji. So exactly like that you explain with the expression and with the bhav, Mataji. Koti Koti Dhan, but pranam to your seva. Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Vrinda Devi ki jai, Vrinda Kund, Sham Kund, Radha Kund, Shishi Govardhan Dham ki jai, Shidam Vrindavan Dham, Shidam Balsana Dham ki jai, Ast Sakhi ki jai, Gop Gopagan ki jai, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna Dandvat Pranam.
Oh my God, it's so beautiful, Mataji. You have so much involvement. So nice to just see you in that involvement. Thank you so much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji, for sharing so nicely. Thank you, Mataji, for your association.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to Guru Maharajas, and all glories to your wonderful service. Like when staying at home, you take us to that dham. And when you're explaining the things like the qualities and how the gopis and how the gopas, not even only the gopas, but even more the gopis also, how they feel. Like, and how each one is feeling that, how other person is more fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
No? That bhav, otherwise everybody, the tendency in this material world is, how fortunate I am. Mm-hmm. But over here, since the Bhagavatamrita, how like, oh no, I'm not fortunate. Somebody else is there. I'm not fortunate. Gopakumar, when you saw from the beginning. And now how the gopis and the gopas, like the gopas, they're getting to a fortunate because they're going with Lord Krishna in the one. And gopis because they can have rasa dance with him at night. Like both are equivalent, but then to how they have the, like this glorification, I always feel that appreciation is a characteristic which everyone should have, and we should have that ample of amount. Only then a person can, like sometimes, you know, if a person is not even much into bhakti, but or any work also, any simple work, but because of that appreciation, he gets that double enthusiasm to do things. So if this glorification is done to each and every devotee, by each and every devotee, just to, if this can be just inculcated in us, from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita also, it would be such a big achievement for everyone. Because then it will become a happy world, right?
Everyone will be happy, yeah.
Everyone will be happy, and looking at that, happy Krishna will be happy, right?
Yeah, that's the mood of Bhagavan. Everyone should be happy, everyone should make others happy, and everything should be happy. Krishna will also be happy.
I know, like there is no need to be that enviness, and there is no need to have that pulling legs of each other.
Competitiveness.
I mean, it is so simple, right? So simple. Just appreciate someone. I know. Vrinda Gopika Mataji, your bhav, the way you are speaking, oh Krishna. I wish a drop of that I can get, Mataji. Oh, awesome, Mataji. I just was looking at you. Thank you, Mataji, for spotlighting her.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, she was so immersed, my Krishna, oh Krishna. She was so immersed.
True.
Mataji, thank you so much, Mataji, for this. You know, like when you were saying this, all picture was just coming about, like, oh, how Krishna is getting ready. He wants to meet his friends. Mm-hmm. That, like, some of the part we just had in the that puppet show, that, oh, Krishna is getting ready. Mm-hmm. But that feeling which was there, that you bought that reality in that thing. Now, Mataji, I have a question over here.
Yeah.
That we say that the gopis have on a different bhav, right? They have a different rasa that they are enjoying, and so this is like the sakya rasa, right? If I'm not wrong, please correct me. And then there are some, like, this was my initial experience when we were new to Krishna consciousness. I'm new as well now also, but this, like, I was the initial days that there are some of them who, like, they treat Krishna very differently. Like, some of them treat Krishna like in now also, they do not treat him like a lord, but they treat him that my Krishna, I will go and do this thing to him or do like this, something they say. So then we were told that you should not have that bhav. You should always have a bhav of being a das to Krishna. So looking at this, looking at the bhav of the gopis or the gopas, sometimes you feel that you might imitate them, right? You might go into that bhav. But again, with that bhav, because we are not always in that bhav, just like the gopis and the gopas, we might make offenses.
Yes.
So what exactly should be our mood?
What exactly should be our
mood? Because sometimes I get angry with Krishna, and he's the only one whom I can, I can fight with. To be very frank, and when I told to Devadarshan Prabhu, he was like, he started laughing and he said that I so love your this bhav that you have that relation that you can fight with Krishna, because he's the only one which I have that I can do that. So I sometimes fight with him. He is the only one whom I can do things to. So what exactly should be the fight? Am I doing some offenses to him by talking my heart to him? Like, I don't know. Sorry.
So Mataji, yeah, this is a tough question to answer. There's no answer to this question, honestly. There's no answer to this question. And also I'm not any authority to answer the question. And I don't know also the answer to that question. I don't have any say in this. But one thing is that, yes, we are all practicing devotees. As you said, yes, we try to maintain the demeanor of Vaidhi Bhakti. We are trying hard to maintain the demeanor of Vaidhi Bhakti. But we see in the practice of devotional service, as we are performing the Navavidha Bhakti of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, and we are constantly being taught to think about the Lord in various ways, read Bhagavatam, chant the holy names, and do all this. The goal of all this practice is to somehow or the other develop an attachment to Krishna. The goal of everything, ultimately, whatever you're doing, is to develop some sort of attachment and some sort of a relationship with Krishna, right? But it should be done in the right way, meaning it should not be done in a very sahaja mode or a sentimental mode. It should be done backed by scriptures. It should be done backed by spiritual authorities in the right mode. Yes, agreed. But it is natural. At the end of the day, it is natural when you have developed, when you're practicing some sort of devotional service, to really think of Krishna as your own. Of course, it is not a constant thing like the Vrajavasis. We are not imitating the Vrajavasis, or we are not thinking that we are equal to the Vrajavasis, or we are not thinking that we are equal to anybody. Okay, we are all insignificant. That is understood. But it is natural to go to our Lord, to go to our deity and pour out our hearts. Right? It is natural. It is a natural thing. And to think that our deity is the one who's responsible, who's really, we are responsible for taking care of our deity is responsible for taking care of us. It's a natural feeling. If that feeling is not there, then what is the point of all this devotion? The feeling is a good feeling in one sense, yes. But of course, we still follow the etiquette of deity worship while being on the altar or while really preaching or doing any of these activities. The etiquette of Vaidhi is there, of course. But within the heart of our hearts, if we have not developed that relationship, everyone has it. It's not that only, it will be there. If it's not there, then you're really hard-hearted and you're not practiced anything. Really, you have not practiced anything. So even if we are practicing for a few years, that relationship automatically props up in the heart, and it's a healthy thing. So you don't have to feel so bad. Ultimately, Krishna is the one who's for everyone. He is Paramatma. He is our Suhrid. Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He is the one who is there for everything that we need. So ultimately, he's our shelter. So we should go to Krishna and we should ask him, we should talk to him, we should have all these. But at the same time, it should not become the why the acharyas keep telling, don't develop that mood where you're, showing off or something like that. But our intention is not that. And as practicing devotees, we have the authority, we have the right, I can say, to have a personal relationship with Krishna, and that is still fine. Yeah, as long as it is not against the rules of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Did I make sense? I think I'm
Yes, Mataji. The essence is known. Like, it should not be, because many of them might just make it a show off. Like, yeah. Oh, see how things are there. I get it, Mataji.
But if you're not having the, we should have a personal relationship with that deity. Then what is the, if we are just thinking the deity, okay, Vaidhi, if we start doing, Vaidhi, there is no love. Without love, how can you serve, right? So love should be there.
True. Thank you, Mataji. Every time you bring out some different nectar. Very nice, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Lakshmi Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. It was a divine session. See, so before I was, like for me, I'm saying when I listen to Krishna Katha or seeing some animations or reading books, I always used to concentrate on Krishna. Krishna is in the center. So even when saying the stories to the kids or somebody, we used to highlight Krishna. But and the covered boys who are with Krishna, I used to think them as a person who is assisting with Krishna and they are just helping Krishna or something like that. Yes. But today in your class, when you said about the fortune of covered boys, only then I can realize how divine and important they are. And you mentioned, Mataji, that from Krita Yuga and Satya Yuga, they have been doing so much of pious activities, meditation and so much of their into God, they got this, they earned it. Actually, they earned the position of playing with Krishna. Mm. So your class made me, like, changed my view on covered boys with the past tense. Again, my approach to reading the Katha will be very different. So thank you so much for that, Mataji. And and two things, Mataji. The thing you said about sins. Like for ordinary people, you said that when we contradict the principle of religion, it is sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, before coming to Krishna conscious, it was like that. Because we do all the pujas and follow all the religious, like what is mentioned in religious, but we make sure we don't doing any like pava or any sin. But when you said for devotees, it is like something that obstructs pure devotional service is a sin. Actually, it gives a different view, Mataji, like a complete turnover.
Yes.
What was sin that in my life, what I was thinking as sin and what I got today that you're saying that anything which obstructs the devotion for Krishna is a sin. That is like an eye opener for me, a new way of thinking or new way of approaching the sin. So that was so wonderful, Mataji. And one question, Mataji, for me, you mentioned about yogis. And you said the yogis, they do meditation for many years, even for many births, they are doing the meditation and they attain the Brahman platform. So inside their heart, they know that Krishna is the ultimate Brahman and they're praying to Krishna. But, and you mentioned they don't even get the, Padapa Amshu, that even the trees that embrace Krishna or which get the devotion Krishna, they don't even get the dust of it. So my question or my doubt, Mataji, my doubt is when these yogis are still praying to Krishna in their heart for so many years, why don't they get the mercy of Krishna to develop from that stage to a devotion that where they get this? Get this fortune to taste the dust of Krishna. So why the development is not going, Mataji, is whether they are restricting or the mercy is not given by Krishna?
They are restricting. So Krishna's mercy is like sunshine. Okay. So it's everywhere, like or a rain that falls in a particular region everywhere. But if we go closed doors and then we go into a room without windows and we shut ourselves, then we are in darkness, right? or we are, if you put an umbrella on top, you're just obstructing the rain from coming. So Krishna's mercy is there, but then if we are stuck with the impersonal conception and we want to deny the existence of a personal form, and we are so happy in Brahman bliss, where we think, okay, aham brahmasmi, I also want to be God, then that is the last, like we heard yesterday, the last snare of Maya. We are obstructing the mercy. So mercy is there, but when we obstruct, we get stuck. And that is the, to get stuck in that impersonal understanding is so hard to come out of. So that is the struggle that these impersonal yogis are going through. That is the struggle they're going through.
Oh, so Mataji, so even if a yogi who is open, who is not into that strict, who is not into so adamant, and if it is open at some point, he can enjoy it. He can come into devotion bhakti.
Okay,
Mataji. So it is their problem. They are not doing that. Okay. Okay, very nice, Mataji. Very, very nice class, Mataji, because I learned so much from your class today. And the presentation was so fantastic, Mataji. And thank you so much for all the service you're doing. And we are always very grateful to you. And I am always particularly very grateful to you. I learned more from your class, Mataji. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Jai Sachinandana.
Hare Krishna, Lakshmi Mataji. Thank you so much
for honoring your video.
But I'm not able to see.
I don't know.
She yawned, but I cannot see her.
No, I usually don't on my videos. I'm not very much comfortable with videos. Actually, I didn't know.
Mataji, but we cannot see you. Means you closed that.
She has closed the camera like that.
Okay. Sorry, Mataji.
We hope we'll see you, Mataji. Your realizations are very nice.
So beautiful. Very beautiful realization. Yes, Mataji. Vinita Mataji, you were saying.
I just want to see her.
Okay, Mataji, one day I'll make sure I see everybody. I see everybody, so I'm happy with it.
She will. One day she'll
be. Anyways, thank you, Mataji, so much for your class, and really learning so much from you and from your service. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. I think everyone is waiting for 64 chanting, and I'm holding everyone. So if there are no more comments or question, we can continue our japa session. It is Ekadashi, so we'll end the call, but don't worry, you can log in back. Okay, I see a lot of people have joined for the japa, so we'll end the call here and then you all can log in back. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpataruvrascha kripa sindhu vyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय श्री बृहद भागवतामृता की जय श्री सनातन गोस्वामी की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हरे कृष्णा
ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द विलासिनी माताजी हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्णा थैंक यू